迎回到无滤镜异国生活，我是甜甜。今天这一集呢会非常的特别，因为我们会用英文来进行，那我直接来讲英文咯。Hi everyone, this is Tina. Welcome to my show, No Filter Life Abroad. And today, I'm really happy to invite a very special guest because normally he's really, really busy and he works a lot. Luckily, we have vacation this week, so he said yes to come to my show. And let's welcome my special guest.
Yay, hi.
Who are you?
Fabian.Tina's husband.
Yeah, Tina's husband. So normally I actually talk about him on my social media, but like people don't know like what does he do. Like, I just always say that he's really busy, but no one knows that your job. I mean, probably they know that you are an engineer, but nothing else. Because every time when people ask me, what do you do? And I actually also don't know how to say it. So that's why people are really, really interesting. What are you doing for a living? So that's why that would be our main topic in this episode, like about his career and also his job description. And you'll share some advice, like how you prepare your CV and your cover letter, and also like how you prepare for your job interview in Germany. Fans also have some questions about our relationship. And also at the end, we have some general questions for him. So let's start. What is your background?
Well, I studied something called techno mathematics.
So what is techno mathematics?
It's mostly math and then also mechanical engineering and computer science. It's like you have a major in math and, well, two minor subjects. So mechanical engineering, computer science. It's like, I don't know, 40-30-30. Percentage wise.
Okay, and what did you do for your master's degree? Because I know that you actually changed a little your direction on your master's degree or PhD degree, right?
Yeah, from a PhD. It's been a while ago, so it was a diploma still in Germany, but now it's like a master's. I did that in applied mathematics, which is like in process engineering. And then I liked process engineering so much that I did my PhD there as well. For everyone who doesn't know process engineering, it's like chemical engineering. It's very similar.
Okay, and what did you do for your PhD? I mean, which subject? Or I know that it's process engineering, but what topic or mainly research?
I wrote and did some experiments too, actually. But I wrote mostly a program about a simulation of what really small particles do with each other. So, for example, let's assume you have we want to make a pudding, or you have your, I don't know, protein powder or so. And you want to mix it with milk or with water, depends. Yeah. Now, actually, the formulas have become better, but a while ago, a few years ago maybe, and the powder was building little clumps.
Yeah.
So making, sticking to each other, and not, it didn't like the milk or the water or whatever.
Yeah.
So you had to stir a lot.
True. Actually, sometimes some powder is still like this. Whenever I cooked the Knorr soup,
yeah,
and the powder, I always need to use my spoon. To press them against the wall from the pot so that they will break like smaller.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Because they like each other better than the water, for example.
And that's your research.
Well, I did. I wrote a simulation which can actually like a mathematical description, a computer program which could describe what particles do with each other in a liquid. And then you can investigate on what you have to change. So let's say they don't build clumps anymore, for example. And the overall topic is solid-liquid separation. Actually, we wanted to separate the solids from the liquid and not mix it, but it's the other way around.
Okay, I don't know what to say. So now what you do right now, are they, or your job, is it related to your PhD degree subject or not really anymore?
Only a tiny bit. Currently, I'm overseeing or supervising a master thesis where the student, she's writing also a simulation on a plant network or pipe network. You can think of, I don't know, a reactor, a vessel with a pump next to it and some pipes in between and so on. And she's simulating this. And my background knowledge comes from, well, my studies and my PhD. But I don't really... Well, care too much anymore about little particles sticking to each other, except for when I make pudding.
So yeah. So then now comes to the question, then what do you do right now? Like, what's your job description? Like your title and...
Yeah, currently, well, my description, I think, fits quite well. It's a digital transformation engineer and data scientist.
I always call him digital transformer.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know. So can you repeat it again? What's the title, job title?
Digital transformation engineer and data scientist. So it's like two things which are really tightly connected.
Okay, then what do you do for that? I mean, data science, I know you analyze probably a lot of data, but then?
Yeah, the goal is actually to digitalize processes in our company. So one is, of course, like a chemical process. So we have a lot of data, let's say temperature and flow and pressure, and so measured over a few years or maybe many years. And we want to predict what the process is doing under which conditions. So we can build a mathematical model and we can predict what a process is doing if you, let's say, I don't know, open a valve which you normally never open, or I don't know, something like this. Or we make, we create dashboards which take a lot of data and munch it together to make nice figures so people understand better what is happening. Or we automate processes. Normally we always build web apps actually. So the solution we make is always a web app which people can use from their laptops. And something is easier than before. Let's say there's a lot of Excel sheets being used in the company for a lot of things. And it's not very sustainable.
You just make a database.
For example, yeah. Normally we have a database always in the background.
And then you help people just to... if they set a filter, say that I just want to know this data, and then they can find it out quickly through your program or dashboard when they give us some...
Yeah, that would be the easiest version, just to give people access to the data so they can use it easier. The next step is normally to make predictions or give more insights to say, I don't know, typical example be like, based on our production right now, I don't know how much whatever product we have to produce in the next 2 weeks.
Just take the, for example, for the supermarket.
For the supermarket, you can analyze, like, if you make a promotion and you sell free products cheaper, and then you can analyze what happens, like what people bought more or less. Or let's say if they buy a lot of, I don't know, Coca-Cola or so, which you may sell cheaper for a while, then they probably won't still buy any more Coca-Cola in the next few weeks because they already bought a lot.
Oh, understand. It's like, for example, Starbucks, they say that, okay, buy one and get one free. Or they say that if you have something like a discount, 20% for a month, or this kind of things.
Well, for Starbucks, you can, for example, see what effect it has when you say, okay, buy one, get one free, because people won't buy 10 coffees and store it at home. No. So they won't come back to Starbucks anymore. But you can see, okay, maybe you get a 50% increase in sales if you do the buy one, get one free.
Okay, understand. Now comes the question, how did you look for your job and how was your interview? Because your interview was really different from me, because I work at the hotel.
Well, I was looking for a job for quite a long time, I would say. I don't know. But mostly online. I was just trying to find the right job because I was... After a few years of experience, I was quite sure what I wanted to do. And, well, the jobs are not always there, what you want to do. So I was looking for quite a long time. And when I found some jobs I liked, I applied. And for the one I'm having right now, I liked it right away. I had a telephone interview for about 1 hour with two colleagues of mine. And after that, we each said, okay, we want to proceed with the process. And then I had a full day at my current company where I had, I don't know, about 6 interviews, about 1 hour each, one with HR and then with some other colleagues and some management people. And I also had to hold a presentation about my PhD topic for about half an hour. And then there was a half an hour question and answer about this topic. And at the end of the day, I almost got an offer.
But usually, well, a company just tell you directly after an interview if you are accepted or not.
Depends on the company. Most companies do, some don't, because they have some other applicants waiting. So they have to decide. For me, they said, yeah, they really want to have me, but current economical situation was not that easy. So the board of directors had to decide whether my position would be allowed. But still, after I think 1 or 2 weeks or so, I got the job offer. I forgot.
Yeah, it was last year, 1 year ago. So we didn't remember so detailedly. Yeah, it was like the end of July, and then because you need to quit before 4 months or
3 months.
3 months in advance.
Yeah, so normally in Germany, you have to quit. I mean, if you quit, it's a certain date. Then from the end of that month, there's still 3 more months where you have to work for the same company before you can change.
Yeah.
So it's better actually for both sides, I think, for the employer and for the employee.
Yeah, it depends on the company or the field. Because like, for example, for hotel, I mean, everyone can actually replace me if they have.
No.
So, yeah, somehow. I mean, soft skills, they don't. But I mean, the skills part, like reception skills part, it's quite easy. Like I can be able to manage it like 2 weeks already if I already have some experience at reception. Mm. But for him, because he worked at a quite big company, and then he was also responsible for several projects, so he cannot just say that cheers bye just in one month, because sometimes you just need to hand over, like the handover takes a while.
Yeah, also the old company has to find, it's like someone who does your job for you.
Yeah, some people also are interesting, like how do you do or make your CV? Like, how does it look like? Do you need a photo on it? And how many pages? And which kind of criteria you need to pay attention? Like, for example, the lines or something.
Mm. So normally in Germany, a CV has a photo on it. I think in most countries it doesn't. And it also doesn't have to have a photo on it in Germany. But I personally like it better because you get a better impression on who's applying. It's not about whether a person is pretty or something. It's just an impression. You see the face and you know, okay, that person.
Yes and no.
Yeah. Okay, it's not about the skills when you see the picture, of course.
Well, I'm sure that some people, they're just like decided based on the photo.
Well, but then it's not professional.
Then
you might think about whether you want to work there or not.
Yeah, but the thing is probably, how do you say, the applicant doesn't know that because she's already or he's already rejected. But anyway, that's not our topic today. So how
okay, but if someone rejects you because of the photo, then I would not want to work there.
No.
And
no
eventually one. They see you anyhow because you have your interview. So much about the photo.
Normally people go to a photo studio to take some like interview photo to put it on, because you shouldn't put your past photo on CV. Normally you need to wear a suit and then to go to a photo studio, or you can also do it at home just in front of a white wall or something, but you need to look professional.
Yeah. Doesn't have to be in front of a white wall. Nowadays, there's more stuff in the background.
Gray or blue.
And people are standing, or I don't know. It's also, what do you say, a statement, I think. Depending on your facial expression, on how you stand, on what you do with your arms. It's like, okay.
Because it's also a way to show that you are very like self-confident, or you are a positive person, and you also take care of your appearance. So it's actually better, I think.
I personally like it, but like Tina said, there are some reasons why against it as well. So, and then there's the standard, like you start with your education or work experience, depends. I've seen both in a few
but
last
till
years.
What is like, for example, you did your PhD. So till when, like, were you also noted your high school degree or just from university, master and PhD?
No, high school as well.
High school as well. Okay.
Normally it's high school, then university or other education like college or whatever you did.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do a PhD, that as well, of course. And that's the educational part.
And you also need to note down your notes.
Your grades.
Your grades. Notes. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Like the final grade goes into the CV. Like high school, final grade, so-and-so. University, final grade, so-and-so. And you also have to additionally append your grades as well, like an extra PDF.
As a proof.
Because the overall grade doesn't give as much information as the, I don't know, grades in English, in German, in math, and whatever else you did. Ah, yeah. Also, recently, more and more applicants, there's education, work experience, and then there's the, to me, quite important part, skills, like skills you need for your job. For example, in my
software
case.
Software skills. Or something.
Yeah. What programming languages do you know? or I don't know, in Tina's case, what operating systems do you know, which mm-hmm. other language as well, right? And that's quite important. And recently, a lot of applicants have like this 5-point scale. Normally it's 5 points.
Yeah, do that
they
too.
They say like, yeah, they have 4 out of 5 points yeah. in whatever else.
No, I also use it on my CV and also have bar.
You can have a bar too.
Yeah, I use a bar, yeah.
I like that kind of because it's a little bit more detailed than you say, like, okay, my English is very good or fluent or whatever. You can have something in between. It doesn't have to be good or very good. It can be something in between, for example.
Okay, so you think that should people do a really creative or interesting CV, or you think that it depends on job and field?
Of course, it depends on the job and the field. For me, I'm working in a chemical company, which is normally not only my company, all chemical companies I know at least are kind of conservative because it's about safety and such. And then maybe it shouldn't be too colorful or too creative and too complicated as well, actually. So my CV is kind of boring, like old school, but because of my company, it's more conservative. So if you work, you want to apply for a, I don't know, marketing or some kind of media job or so, maybe it should be, what do you say, design should already show that you know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. And how many pages are your CV?
I think mine is 2 pages, but it should be 1.
Yeah, but it's
depends
impossible.
On your, yeah, it depends on your experience. Like I recently did a lot of interviews with people who have 30 years of experience, for example. They can't fit all their work experience into 1 page. If you just started from university, then 1 page is totally enough.
Okay. And yours are 2 pages.
Yeah, mine is 2.
And what else do you have? Like you say, photo, background, job experiences, and then what else? And your skills.
Yeah, languages and skills. And then? Skills is...
I think some of people, they also put their hobbies.
Yeah, in the end, you can put your hobbies. That's true. It's just typical in Germany, right? Yeah. I almost forgot. It's not important for the job, but it's important to get an information on what person is applying here.
Yes, because I remember one time you say that from your previous company, there was an interviewee and then he doesn't have this, or we asked him what is his hobby or something and he doesn't have any. If one person doesn't have any hobby or any preference, anything, I mean, he must be very boring. So it's better that you also have some like work and life balance, I guess.
And you also want to hire someone who has some social skills, like who can work in a team, or I don't know, that's also kind of important. It's not only about whether you're really good in whatever you're doing, programming or selling products. Well, selling products needs some social skills, but as a company, you're buying the whole package kind of as a person, not only some skill like a robot.
Yeah, because you need to also think about, you are not just working for yourself or the company, you are working with other teammates. Like colleagues. Mm-hmm. So you need to have some social skills to get along with each other.
Yeah.
Because if you just totally focus on yourself, or you are a person that cannot work with others, then no one wants to work with you either. Fabian, like for example, because he interviews people recently, like many people recently. And can you tell us how you interview people? I mean, which part that you all care a lot, that you all pay attention to that? Because one time you told me that everyone interviews the same person, but one colleague pay attention to his social skills and the other one ask him for his experiences and one the other one.
Mm. Well, I normally do like the more general interview, like motivation for the company, why they got into the field they're doing, and also like for project management, for example, what skills they have, what their experience was, what problems they faced in the past. That's what I usually ask for. Because especially the problems, that's kind of important. Everyone has problems at some point in their career, and then it's you get a good impression of how the person is and how he solves problems when he just tells you like what problems he faced with other people and how he overcome them.
Like problem-solving skills.
Yeah. But what I wanted to get back to actually for the CV, please don't write, I don't know, good social skills and team-oriented work and stuff in your CV. That should go into the motivational letter. A lot of people do that, or they write a little short resume about their life in their CV. This shouldn't be there.
So let's take a break. Welcome to my German break. Usually in this part, I'll share with you some German vocabulary and I'll teach you how to pronounce it. This episode, we talk about job and some interview and also some CV motivational letter. So I'll teach you how to pronounce it in German. When you want to say you are looking for a job, so look for a job. In German, we say Arbeit suchen. Arbeit suchen. CV or resume, we say Lebenslauf, Lebenslauf. Motivational letter or cover letter, we say Anschreiben, Anschreiben. Interview, we can say it in two ways. One is Vorstellungsgespräch, Vorstellungsgespräch. Vorstellung means introduction and Gespräch means conversation. So you put introduction, conversation, it means that job interview. And then the second option is Bewerbungsgespräch. Bewerbungsgespräch. Bewerbung means application. Gespräch, I told you, it means conversation. So application, conversation means also job interview. So that's it for today's German break. In next part, Fabian will answer some questions about our relationship. See you! So then now we talk about cover letter and motivational letter. What do you write in it? It should be normally one page, right?
Yeah, definitely not longer than one page. Because if it's longer,
yeah, no one wants to read it.
It means the person kind of talks a lot. I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to say.
They cannot summarize things.
Yeah, right.
Like talk important things.
Get to the point.
Get to a point.
For example. And it should be very specific to the company. Sometimes I read cover letters where even the industry is wrong, where just the company name is switched.
So you will suggest people to prepare an individual motivational letter.
Yeah.
But the thing is, for example, some people, they don't they what to do, or they just apply for like 20 to 30 companies.
Yeah, but then that's wrong.
Yeah, that's
then
wrong
it
too.
Means they should first go sit down and think about what they want to do and not just earn money, because that's a very bad reason if I'm interviewing.
Yeah.
Like, why do you want to work here? Because I want to make money.
Hat er gesagt?
No. Oh. Well, one person kind of said it, not directly.
So what should one write in the motivational letter, usually in Germany?
Why do you apply at this company? Most importantly, what you can offer to that company.
So normally people write in three paragraphs or four, right?
I think three.
Three. Yeah. So the first part, first paragraph is about why do you want to apply to this company?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, for me, I will always write like, yeah, your value appeals me, or this hotel's a chain or brand, like, interesting me or something. And the second part, what should people write?
Well, I would say about you and what you can offer, apart from the, let's say, I don't know, you know, these programming languages, you know them so well. It means like, you did this and that project in the past and it succeeded. Maybe you, I don't know, can say how much value you created, or you can say, okay, that thing has been used so and so often, or sold so and so often, or whatever. It shows like.
So you should write your experience. Yeah, true. But you also need to think that if your experience can contribute to what you are applying.
Yeah, it's about right the now. Job you're applying at right
so
now.
So you need to make a connection between your past experience and what you are applying right now, the position, the job description.
Yeah, the question is always like, why should we hire you?
Yeah.
And then you have to answer it in your motivational letter as well.
Yeah.
In your CV, it's a higher level. It means like, okay, you write down you have been project manager in this and that field. But in your motivational letter, you can say, okay, in this project, which fits to the position I'm applying to, I did this and that.
And how about the last paragraph? I think normally people just write like restate that shortly, that why they should hire you and who you are. Like, for example, normally I write it in the last paragraph always like, yeah, I'm open to new things, I learn things quickly, or something like that.
Yeah, normally there goes the team player and, I don't know, social skills and stuff.
And
but
then,
I usually tend to not read this too well because everyone writes it.
It's a like copy paste sentence. Yeah, it's a sentence. But normally people also will write that I'm looking forward to your reply and blah, blah, blah. And normally, people also need to write down their salary expectation, right?
You don't need to.
But
depends on the company or the field, I guess.
But a lot of companies ask for it.
I like in the past weeks, I read it once in, I don't know, 30 applications I read.
Yeah, but some of the company, their homepage, they always already say that, please state
if the what do you say, job description says it, then you should write it, of course. Yeah. Also, what I want to say is it helps a lot in Germany when you write it in German. It's not that people can't speak English, but it...
You mean CV or you mean motivational letter?
Both, I would say. The CV is easier because it's no full sentence, actually.
Mm-hmm.
But in motivational letter, because, and also if you can't speak German that well, ask a friend or maybe even pay for it to translate it. Because when I read it and I read a lot of mistakes in the letter, even though I try to stay unbiased, I think like, okay, maybe that person is not working so well or so carefully.
It's also a way to show your professionality.
Yeah. Professionalism, I guess. No, it's also because normally there's some companies where people just speak English, but it's seldom. And mostly people speak just German, and means you should be able to speak somehow German. It doesn't have to be perfect at all.
Yes.
When you speak, just when you write your letter, it should be good because it's giving you a first impression and decides whether people want to talk to you in an interview or not.
Yes. I just want to say this is also your first chance to get into the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter if you pay someone to write it. I mean, not really write it, so it's translated. Or at least take myself, for example. I always write myself the motivational letter in German, but I will let Fabian to check it.
Yeah, just let a friend proofread it.
Yeah.
It's no problem. I mean, the core you did yourself, and also it's about you, so people want to hire you. If someone proofreads it, it just means you can find help, at least. You know yourself, like how to help yourself.
Okay, so much about your job and looking for a job and CV things. Some people also ask for your opinions, like for foreigners who are looking for jobs in Germany. Do you have any opinions? Like, for example, you just mentioned that it's better that they write their motivational letter in German, and anything else that when they look for a job.
I'm not totally sure about Taiwan, for example, but try to stay somehow in your profession. Because again, the question is, when I'm reviewing a CV or an application, I'm like, why should I hire you and not the 10 other candidates
mm-hmm.
who are lying on my desk or in my computer? It's not lying on the desk anymore. But it should be somewhat close. Like, you have to bring the company some knowledge, some value somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, I probably couldn't apply as what Tina is doing right now. Because I don't have any background in it, even though I know how to talk to people. I don't know the operating system. I don't know the, I don't know, different kinds of jobs in the hotel. And now, maybe now I know because Tina told me.
You need to smile at everyone.
Yeah, for example, that I couldn't do. When there's someone really stupid wanting something and telling me I'm wrong, even though he's wrong,
well,
that'd be hard for me.
Yeah, you just need to say, I'm sorry.
I cannot help you.
I don't know what you
mean.
Yeah.
No, not this, but yeah.
Anything else? Does one really have to speak German?
You don't have to. It depends on, I guess, for Tina, it's important because there's maybe some older German guests who don't speak English or
so
something else.
What you say is it depends on the job and the field. But I would say in long terms, it's still better that one speaks
definitely.
German.
It's like in every country, I think people stick to their mother tongue. And when you want to be close to your colleagues, which is important for a lot of reasons, to not be alone, for example, then you should speak their language. And even though they might be very nice and talk English or whatever else to you for a while, at some point they switch back to their own language and then you would be left out. So it's important to speak their language.
Okay, then that's it for our job and career part. Let's talk about relationship.
Uh-oh.
Okay, a really big turn. Like a really like serious topic and then now the other one. So people ask, when you are very busy, do you even have quality time with Tina? When yes, what do you do?
Oh yeah, that's very difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Well, normally when she's at home and not too busy as well, of course we spend time together quite a lot, I think. And what do we do?
Let's just say from Monday to Friday, do we do?
You need to separate. That's just true, actually. Yeah. So in the evening, either we go to the gym or do sports at home or whatever.
It's actually just a normal couple
life.
Yeah.
We watch a lot of Netflix.
Yeah, so our program is go to gym, shower, eat dinner, then couch potato, and then read before we sleep and sleep.
Yeah.
That's actually our daily life.
Like when we work. When we don't work, then we...
We sleep in.
Yeah, a lot.
Then we brunch. Well, actually, because the thing is, right now I have like reducing working hours right now. In German, we call it Kurzarbeit. So it means that normally I should work like 5 days a week and right now probably only 2 days. So we actually have a lot of time together, especially on weekend, because normally or usually in the past, I need to work on weekend. So we don't have a lot of like time together. But right now we have, so we actually just doing... What do we do on weekend?
Well, we also go to other cities, have a look.
Yeah, like for example, this year we visited several like cities in nearby. Like for example, Schwetzingen, Ladenburg, Trier, Speyer.
Ach, Speyer, nicht Worms.
Speyer, yeah. Cochem und so weiter. Yeah. Yeah, we also visited them, like take a 1 day trip, or we also went to like Weinstraße.
That was kind of vacation, I think, because it was longer. Or we go and meet some friends in Frankfurt. I mean,
Frankfurt, Heidelberg, Karlsruhe.
Karlsruhe.
So that's generally our free time activity. It's nothing special, actually.
Recently, we started skateboarding. Or I restarted and Tina started.
I started, but that was my idea to start it.
Well, I told you about it a long time ago.
Yeah. And then I pushed you. Second question is, do you care a lot when Tina has some opposite gender friends?
Yeah, I care a lot.
Yeah?
Well, of course, I think it's normal.
You think that when one is in a relationship, they shouldn't have so many contact with their opposite gender friends?
To me, generally, if I know, let's say there's a guy friend of Tina and he's not interested in her more than just being friends, it's okay.
But how do you know that he's not interested in Tina?
I need to find out.
A general question is, well, let's say, do you allow or do you accept that Tina goes out one day, one evening with a guy friend? Is it okay for you?
If it's a long time friend, it's no problem, I would say. If it's short time, I would think like, why? Hey, why?
Okay. My strategy is because I used to have a lot of opposite gender friends. Seriously, it's because of my personality. I'm just getting better alone with them than with girls, I guess. And then my strategy is, every girlfriend, please listen carefully. My strategy is I just introduce my guy friends to Fabian at the very first place. And then if they get along well with each other, then Fabian knows my friends. Then of course I can go out with them, like separately.
No, that's okay.
Like alone, right? But how do you accept it? So I think this is one way, but the other way, because some girls, they told me that they care a lot because their boyfriends like really go out with some girlfriends like alone. I mean, for me, because after we are in a relationship, I don't do it anymore because there's nothing that you really need to go out alone with your friends. Go have a coffee, it's fine. But when you need to like, stay one night in another city, then I don't think that's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a difference between meeting and staying somewhere for a few days with the other person alone.
Yeah, I would say that just try to ask them also the same question when they ask you. If I right now go out with a guy and then stay one night with him alone in another city, what will they think? Then probably you will find some solution about it. I mean, it's also based on trust. And especially like I say, if you introduce already your friends to your partner, then that should be fine.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to introduce your friends to your partner, then okay, it might be something strange between them. Otherwise, why not? You cannot introduce them. Okay, now comes to the last question in the relationship part. So what do you think about cross-cultural relationship? People in Taiwan, some of them, they don't really accept it. Because they think that a lot of foreigners, they have more like higher divorce rate, negative news in media. So that's why people don't like it at all. And also some of them, they think that like, for example, Americans or Europeans, they are better than people from Southeast Asia. So when you see a couple like cross-cultural relationship couple, then what do you think about it?
Yeah, to me, it's not so special, actually.
What? You don't think our relationship is special?
Of course, it's very special. It's the best I want to have. No, I don't know. But
well, let's just ask you, actually also quite interested in it. Do you or have you ever thought that you all have a girlfriend or a wife from Taiwan? Or have you ever thought that you all have a cross-cultural relationship?
Cross-cultural, maybe.
Taiwan, no.
Cross-cultural.
But well, actually,
I'm
your
quite
first
open-minded and I travel a lot.
Well, okay, actually, your first girlfriend was from Canada, right? Or second?
It wasn't my first, but yeah.
See, he has already your experience.
Sorry. No, but to me, it's about two people, and whether the two people like each other, it doesn't really matter where they're from.
Correct.
If they can live together and they share similar thoughts and ideas.
Especially the couples from a cross-cultural relationship, they need to face more difficulties and challenges.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, applying visa, or one of the person from the relationship probably need to move to a new country and to start a new life there. So it's actually more challenging than normal couple.
Mm.
If you like each other and if you really want to be together with this person, then nothing will beat you.
Hopefully.
How cliche. Okay. So the last, but also my most important question for you. So people ask, like, what do you think of Tina using social media? Why are you so against it? Well, the second question was actually from me.
Okay, I'm not against social media in general, even though I have a lot of
Do you actually use social media?
I use WhatsApp.
Okay.
And Line.
Okay, anything else? Facebook, you have actually an account, but you don't use it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've been using it. Well, what I think is positive is that you can stay in touch with friends and other people, like family, especially when they're not so close geographically. And then there is a lot of things I don't like about the companies, but it's not so important.
But what do you think about it, Tina using social media? That's the main question.
I think Tina can use it, no problem. But sometimes other things are more important, like people sitting in front of you.
Yeah, I know. That's why we are doing a podcast episode together.
Mm-hmm. No, it's just when you're, when you're meeting friends or family or other people and you're sitting at a table and then you're there to meet these people and not to use your phone.
Yeah, but I didn't use it. I use it at home.
Just recently when we met my mom at home. Uh-huh.
Yeah, weil ich hab, ich, yes, because I need to post something at 1 p.m. and I need to check if it worked. And it doesn't work. But normally, I don't use my mobile phone while I meet your friend or our friends or family.
I just think it shouldn't be most important.
I didn't take it as my most important thing. Okay, he doesn't want to talk anymore.
No, the point
next
is she
question.
Doesn't understand me.
You don't understand me neither. Mm-hmm. Okay, we need to fight now.
I think there is no next question.
No, that's it. But you still didn't. So you are not against it, but just you think that Tina used too much, like spend too much time on social media.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay,
like
I'll just do.
There's times where you do social media and times where you do something else.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm doing skateboarding things with you. Yeah.
Until you get tired after half an hour.
I'll just do it. Social media things behind his back. And that's it for today's show. And thank you very much for taking your time to listen. And thank you, Fabian, to come into my show and share your experience, your opinions, and your thoughts about many things. And I hope you guys like this episode. And if you really like Fabian doing podcasts with me, you can tell me so you are doing more often with me.
Very likely.
How was it, your first time?
Well, it's okay, actually. I don't mind. I just hope it's interesting. And yeah, if you have more questions, so just let Tina know.
Yeah, just let us know and let me know and I can make a new podcast with Fabian.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, then if you like our show, please just rate our show 5 stars. 好啦，今天就先聊到这边了。那如果你们有喜欢的话呢，再告诉我们。那如果你真的喜欢听Fabian跟我一起来做 podcast 的话呢，你再告诉我，留言告诉我。那未来有机会的话，真的会跟他继续一起开下去。那希望这次的主题不会让大家觉得太无聊。那我们就下次见咯。 See you next time. Bye.
Bye bye.
希望大家会喜欢这集的内容，喜欢的话在留言评论告诉我哦，或是上我的脸书专页，跟着甜甜与发表一起刮世界地图，或是我的 Instagram tiny.pepacker 私讯我，
今天的节目就到这里，那我们两周后再见咯，拜拜。